Our service this afternoon is actually entitled Thankfulness. And some of the things show on my screen, but they're on yours, so I'm sorry for that. What we'd like to do is open up with the reading of a manna text for April 5th. And we've asked Brother Mark Tabak to read that for us, please.
My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalms 63, 5 and 6. Prayer is not a privilege merely, but also a necessity, commanded as indispensable to our Christian growth. Whoever loses the desire to thank and worship and commune with the Father of mercies may rest assured that he is losing the very spirit of sonship, and should promptly seek to remove the barrier, the world, the flesh, or the devil. Every additional evidence of the Lord's confidence in us by the revealing to us of his character and plan, so far from diminishing our worship and prayers, should multiply them. If our hearts are good soil, they will bring forth the more abundantly. Text again, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalms 63, 5 and 6.
Okay, thank you. The expression, my mouth shall praise thee. The expression, praise the Lord, or praise, or thanksgiving. In the New American Standard Bible, that expression, praise the Lord, occurs 39 times in the Old Testament. But it occurs only once in the New Testament. And it so happens that that New Testament is actually a referral or a quote back to the Old Testament for praise the Lord. But the word praise itself occurs 179 times. In the Old Testament, in 155 different verses. It occurs 28 times in the New Testament in 26 different verses. And the word thanks, in reference to God, occurs 69 times in the Old Testament in 68 separate verses. And it occurs 41 times in the New Testament. So clearly, we are instructed to praise our Father and to be thankful for His providence in our lives. We have much to be thankful for, but let us start thanking Him for getting us through the week and bringing us here today. So let's sing together hymn number 253, Thankful Worship. Hymn 253, Thankful Worship. The words will be on the screen. If you can't follow along with that, then use the hymnals. Yeah, we're here today because of God's grace, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Each of us many different experiences throughout the week. Some perhaps life-threatening, some perhaps not. You know, some simple as stopping at a light in time and not being hit by the person behind you because they didn't stop. So we have a lot of things that the Lord watched over us this week for. And sometimes we don't pay attention, don't recognize them, and we don't thank Him enough for it. So this afternoon what we want to do is to encourage us to expand our horizons perhaps a little bit and to see things from a little different eye, the eye of thankfulness or gratitude, and to take the normal everyday experiences and just to be thankful for them as they come. We've asked Sister or Lauren Alexander to read a poem for us, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All things bright and beautiful. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, He made their glowing colors, He made their tiny wings. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, He made them high or lowly, He ordered their estate. The purple-headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, He made them every one. The tall trees in the greenwood, the meadows where we play, the rushes by the water to gather every day. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is the God Almighty who has made all things well.
Now you can hear in her voice her youthfulness. If you and I were to read that, we'd read it a little bit slower, but when we're younger, we race through it because we can. So, the Lord God has made all things great and small. Sometimes we don't pay attention to those things. So our purpose this afternoon is to encourage us to look again around you and look at the things that you have and that you're exposed to and be thankful for them. Yes, we do have much to be thankful for. How can we not stand or sit or lay prostrate before Him sometimes with arms wide open in awe, arms wide open with praise, and thank Him? And that's what we're told in Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. Do you tell your children about the goodness of the Lord in your lives? If you don't, you can't tell it on to all generations, because it starts with you and your generation, your children, your offspring. The thankless heart is also, as always, an unhappy heart. Now, sometimes we have experiences that, you know, we're just bitter over or sour over. But if we look at the experiences from the perspective that we are in the Father's hands, we are in His care, and all things work together for good, the unhappy experiences aren't quite so bitter, or maybe not even so unhappy then. The thankless heart is always an unhappy heart. Let's sing hymn number 295A, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. We'll sing all the verses. You know, as a parent, you love your children very much. And you express that love in different ways. Sometimes you express it with hugs and kisses. Sometimes you express it by the daily provision for them. And sometimes, regrettably, you have to reprimand them. Now, sometimes a child will think, if you really loved me, you wouldn't reprimand me. You'd let me do what I want to do. And some parents, unfortunately, have that same mindset. They think that showing any kind of discipline, it means that they don't love their children, so they don't discipline their children. Well, the Lord Jesus loves us very much. And our Heavenly Father loves us very much. And sometimes the experiences of our lives are for that very reason of discipline. And sometimes they're because He wants us to learn about ourselves in various situations and in various experiences. So He permits things to happen to you because it's going to grow in you something that is going to benefit you later in life. Now that later could be today, could be tomorrow, could be many years down the road. But it's still going to be later. And many times we look at the experience right now today and we say, I don't understand why I'm having this experience. And there are so many Old Testament characters like that. You know, think of Joseph being put into the pit by his brothers. What did he ever do to them that deserved that? And then he's rescued out of the pit and he's sold and he's put into slavery. He's sold as a slave. What did he ever do to deserve that? And then he works his way up through Potiphar's house. His wife wants to sleep with him and Joseph refuses. He's honorable in all of his affairs, and yet he's still put into prison. What did he ever do to deserve that? But at the end of the account with Joseph, when his brothers come to him in Egypt, remember how Joseph said, God thought it good that I have these experiences so that I could save you and my family. And in our own lives, that's exactly what happens. So, if we turn our face to the Lord Jesus and look at Him, all the experiences that we have, sometimes the shadows of our life, you know, we can put those behind us. Face the sunshine and the shadows will fall behind you, fall away. Now, a piano has both white and dark keys. A musician can play a piece without any flats or sharps, the black keys. But the piece does not have the same richness of sound as when the flats and sharps are included in the piece that they're playing. So too in our lives, we also have experiences. Sharp experiences and flat experiences. The melody of our lives, the testimony, if you will, is enriched because of those very sharp and flat experiences. Sister Cheryl's going to play a stanza of a hymn without the sharps. And then she's going to play the same stanza, the same hymn, properly with all the sharps and the flats. See if you can tell the difference. 161A. Was without the sharps and flats included. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? Much better than I could ever do. But now let's put the proper notes in place. Which would you rather prefer? The latter one, right? The ones with the sharps and the flats in them. Well, when others look at your lives and our lives, which one do you think they're benefited most by? The former version of it, without any rough or tough or hard or difficult experiences, whereby grace can be shown? Or the latter one, where the experiences knock the edges off of us, round our features, soften our abilities and capabilities and our toughness. And the melody that comes forth is so much more pleasing because of the fact that we have the sharp and the flat experiences in our lives. So face the sunshine. And those flats and sharps, though they add to our lives, do not need to overwhelm us. They won't overpower us as long as we're looking to Him. Now in our lives, there are many things that we take for granted. And we all know that we should not do that. That we should not take things for granted. But we still do. The cold that brings the snow in this picture is also the means by which our rivers are supplied with water as the snow melts in the springtime. The accumulation of that water from the rivers then creates lakes and ponds, streams and creeks and tributaries, and it branches off and feeds a whole ecosystem because of that snow. But snow also brings cold. So if we don't want the cold, then look what we're going to give up because of the very thing that brings the snow, the coldness. We should be thankful for the cold that brings the snow in our lives. Without the snow, we would not be able to enjoy even this simple spring scene. There would be no water there because there would be no snow to melt. As spring leads into summer and the greening that follows, so our lives have seasons also in them. We grow as infants and young children. We grow as young children then into teens, and we become more independent. And then finally we reach young adulthood. So even as there are natural seasons in life, there are also seasons that you and I go through. We also go through spiritual seasons as well. We start out not knowing who our Father in Heaven is. And then we grow into learning Him. We test Him and see if He is who He says He is, if His Word is true and faithful. And then we commit our care and our hands and our lives into Him. Well, summer leads into fall. And fall into adulthood. And adulthood has its stages also. Marriage, perhaps. Children, perhaps. Pursuit of careers and middle age all occur in that fall season. Your children, once they were young in your hands, now you're sending them off to school. And a couple years to follow after that, they move into their own apartments, move into their own places, and marriage comes. And then they start their own seasons off, independent of you and me. So as hard as it is to let them go, you and I are successful because we can let them go. If we can't, then we're not successful as parents. So and as we interact and deal with our children, we let them have experiences to prepare them to stand on their own. We teach them the principles that they need to know. We try to put them in situations where they can practice those experiences safely. And sometimes we let them make decisions that we know are wrong. But there's a benefit to them making it on their own anyway. It sounds like a father's love for his children, doesn't it? And a mother's love for their children. Well, that's how our Father deals with us too. He trains us up, teaches us the principles, gives us His Word to guide us and direct us, gives us our touchstone. He gives us an avenue of prayer and relationship with Him. And then He says, now I've taught you many things. You need to start living the things that you've learned. So we have the experiences that we have. And as we go through them, sometimes we forget. And we're not thankful. And we're saddened. Or worst case, we become bitter. Why do I have this and someone else doesn't? How come everything bad happens to me? Well, everything good happens to you because the Lord watches over you. And the bad things that happen to you are for a reason. Because He's watching over you. Don't take those experiences and the things of life for granted. Adulthood progresses then into the golden years, as fall progresses into winter. And as the winter progresses, it becomes not so golden. We all get tired of the winter. And eventually, winter ends, and so do our lives and death. In each stage of our lives, we have experiences and expectations that we take for granted. Thank the Lord for those. Thank Him for being able to enjoy the natural seasons in nature around you, but also in the natural seasons of our own lives. Don't take Him for granted. After the flood, God made a promise to Noah. In Genesis 8:22, He said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease." God didn't have to make this promise, but He gracefully did. This is just one of the many experiences of grace that we find in the Scriptures, and also in our own lives personally. By God's grace, you have come to know His plan of the ages. By His grace, you were called the sonship. You ever wonder why me, out of all the millions of people, billions of people on earth, what did God see in me that He has decided to call me? I don't know, but I'm very thankful that He found something. By His grace, He bestows upon us far more than we ever deserve. You know, justice is where we get what we deserve. Love is where we don't get what we deserve. And mercy is where we get far more than what we deserve. And that's how our Father deals with us. He gives us far more than what we ever deserve. So let's acknowledge and thank Him for that grace. Through hymn number 37. Hymn 37, Boundless Grace. Excuse me. Okay, I'm skipping a slide here. I'm not sure why. Cheerfulness and contentment are great beautifiers and preservers of youthful looks. Here we have a mother and her foal. You know, it takes more facial muscles to frown than it does to smile. And we're all going to get wrinkles and crow feet eventually. So we might as well get those and accumulate those because we're happy and we smile, more so than because we're sad and bitter and angry. So if you're going to get wrinkles, let them be because of the joy that's within you, not because of the disappointments or pain that you experience in life. Cheerfulness and contentment are great beautifiers and preservers of youthful looks. Sister Harriet Doctor is going to read Slowing Down, a poem by Helen Steiner Rice.
Slowing down. My days are so crowded and my hours are so few, and I can no longer work fast like I used to do. But I know I must learn to be satisfied that God has not completely denied the joy of working at a much slower pace. For as long as he gives me a little place to work with him in his vineyard of love, and to know that he's helping me from above, gives me strength to meet each day as I travel along life's changing way.
Yes, we can be thankful for both the little and the larger privileges and joys of life. Another thing we take for granted are the heavens above. When was the last time you enjoyed a sunrise or a sunset? When was the last time you looked up into the heavens and marveled at the hand that put the heavenly bodies in their place? Now, you may not recognize this view of the sky, but perhaps you will recognize this one. One to me. You recognize that one? The Big Dipper? When's the last time you looked up and saw it? And sometimes we're so busy that the things that we shouldn't take for granted, we do. And we never look up. We're just so busy looking ahead and down at the things of this earth that we don't take the time to lift our heads and look up. Now, this is a picture of the moon and the light that it reflects from the sun. Now, while you may not be familiar with the landscape, you are familiar with moonlight. When was the last time you looked at the moon and watched the moon? If I were to ask you, would you be able to answer this question? Can you tell me if the moon waxes or wanes when it grows larger? So here's a picture of the cycle of the moons, of the moon. All right, so we have the new moon to your far left at 9 o'clock, the crescent phase down at 7 and 8 o'clock. We've got the first quarter. So as the new moon is progressing, it's waxing, it's getting larger and larger. We get to the gibbons phase, and then finally the full moon. And then we have the parallel of the gibbons phase in the second part, the last quarter of the moon, and then the moon wanes back into the crescent again. And then it disappears and it comes back again around. In this next month, see if you can watch the phases of the moon. Make it a point to walk outside and look. Now, our Creator established the relationship of our moon to our planet Earth. If it was too large or too small, it would have adverse effects on the Earth as we know it. If it was too large, its gravitational pull would be so significant that we'd have tidal floods and catastrophes along those lines. If it was too small, we wouldn't have the... I'm not sure exactly what we wouldn't have if the moon was too small. I do know, though, that if the moon is just right for our Earth... The constancy of the moon and its cycles was used to record time. Now, you're familiar with the Jewish calendar based on the lunar year. Well, they looked at the lunar months. They looked at the moon as it went through its cycle. And many of the tabernacle services and offerings were based on the moon And there would be messengers with trumpet and be sent out through Israel as the new moon approached, so that they could coordinate their services and their harvest activities and that with the moon. So everybody was in conjunction. They'd send out messengers. We're familiar with some of the seasons, the services and holidays that are marked by the moon. We have the spring and fall equinox. We have Easter. We have the memorial based on the first full moon. And there are others that are regulated by the moon. We're not even familiar with that much anymore because we just look at the calendar, not realize that there was something behind that drove the calendar, that object in the sky. Look up. Look around. Enjoy the beauty above, the beauty below, and the beauty around us. You know, man is the only creation that can look up into the heavens and enjoy the heavens, and look in down into the creation through the electron microscopes and through the technology that we have, and be able to appreciate both of those. Man is the only one that can look up and look down. As you do this looking, I believe your heart will automatically gravitate toward thankfulness for the goodness and the greatness of the one who created all these things, our Father in heaven. So let's thank him for the many blessings he bestows upon us by singing together hymn number 340, Count Your Blessings. And I think Amelia is going to play that one for us. Is that correct? Okay. All right, hymn 340. Yes, I do.
It will surprise you what the
Another thing we take for granted are the services, the beauty, and the benefits of the community, the county, and the country that we live in. It was not happenstance that the harvest message grew in the United States. We have many freedoms, many rights, and many services that other countries do not have and will not have until they are forced to provide them. This is a Chicago skyline. If you have flown in an airplane at night, you cannot help but marvel at the beauty below as you fly above it. Just think of all the technology that has blessed mankind that you and I have access to that our forefathers did not. Brother Joe mentioned that he had to take out a section or add a section in his service this morning because of PowerPoint. 9 years ago, it wasn't available or wasn't as widely used. Today, almost all the speakers use PowerPoint. Your grandparents started in the industrial age, and now we are in the information age. And your grandparents spanned that time frame. My grandfather, until he died, talked about the horse and buggy, the cars, the airplanes, and the man on the moon. And now we send out explorers to Mars and beyond. We have a lot that we take for granted. And we don't even have any idea what tomorrow is going to bring. But, you know, we live like kings of old today. And we don't think we have enough. We always want more. We should be very thankful for all that we do already have. We don't appreciate the traffic. And we are not happy to be in it. Not happy with the things that traffic brings. But the very thing that is represented there is also what allows us to be able to move around from place to place. Could you imagine getting on a horse and riding to meeting today? Or getting into the wagon and carriage and driving today here? Most of us wouldn't have come because it would have been too far. So the very things that we are blessed with sometimes have things that aren't so comfortable with. But they allow us to do things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. You imagine driving to some of the remote conventions that our brethren attend to? We just get in a plane and fly. Another area of thankfulness that we can exhibit is when we're able to do good for others, just be sure that we do it so that when we thank Him and praise Him, be sure that we do it so that others don't know that we're doing it. Let's not be like the man on the street corner who thanks the Lord that he's not like the poor sinner next to him. And the poor sinner won't even look up and beats his chest and he says, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." So the Lord gives us opportunities to use. So let's use them and be thankful for them. Just be sure to do it so that only you and the Lord know about it. Perhaps the thing that we are most thankful for is represented by this picture, our Lord Jesus. This is a very common print. I get into a lot of homes and I see that print hanging up in various homes. My own mother and father had that hanging up in their bedroom, that very print right there. We are told in Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." That's the New American Standard Version. In Luke 2, in verses 41 through 51, we are told about the experience of the Lord Jesus. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and they went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and their acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned back to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, Now, could you imagine? There's a large influx of individuals coming from all over the nation of Israel to Jerusalem for the Passover. Your son's 12 years old. He's a very responsible young man. He's not with you when you leave, so you're not worried about it. You get out a ways and you realize he's just not there with you at all, and you return. How would you feel as a parent when that large assembly of people, and you have no idea where your child is? But after 3 days looking for him, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is that, that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Sometimes you and I are put into positions of submission to another. Are we thankful for those experiences? Do we do as the Lord Jesus did? He continued in subjection to them. And because of his obedience to his parents, it markedly affected his mother. And then as he grew to be a young man, it came time where he started his own ministry. And he came to the John the Baptist and was immersed there. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Are you thankful that the Lord Jesus made that commitment? It means salvation for us, because he did. He continued his ministry for approximately 3.5 years. And it came to the point in time where he started to prepare his disciples that he must die. He must go to Jerusalem and die. And they would have nothing to do with that. They could not accept the fact that he was to die. It was so foreign to them that they just discounted it altogether. But the reality of it came, and they could not deny what is represented here. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. He was going to die. Are you thankful for that death? In Luke 23:46, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody was whipping me when I was in a situation that was uncalled for, I would have a different reaction than what the Lord Jesus did. How about if your spouse says something unkind to you in a way that you didn't deserve? What's your reaction? What's my reaction? I'm not giving my life. I just have to return a kind word for an unkind word, and I can't even always do that. Are you thankful that the Lord Jesus was able to bear the reproaches of those who reproached him, so that you and I can have that salvation that is promised? Having said this, he breathed his last. And he was buried. And the proof of the fact that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and was the Messiah was in the resurrection. If he had not come out of the resurrection, it would have been of no value. But after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Are you thankful for the faith that you have, not ever having seen the Lord Jesus, that you can still believe and trust that what our Father in Heaven tells us about Him is true? Enough so much that you're willing to put your life into His hands? You ever thank the Lord for that faith? Let's sing hymn number 353, A Wonderful Savior. And Amelia is going to play that for us. Sister Alice is going to read for us the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Are you thankful for the Lord as your shepherd? And for the way he makes you lie down in green pastures? There's a, in the collection of sayings that Brother Carl put out under Babbling Brook, there's a little snippet in there, "That's All I Want." And this is a quotation. In his beautiful book, "I Shall Not Want," Robert Ketchum tells of a Sunday school teacher who asked her group of children if anyone could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. A golden-haired 4-year-old girl was among those who raised her hand. A bit skeptical, the teacher asked if she could really quote the entire psalm. The little girl came to the front of the room, faced the class, made a perky little bow, and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." She bowed again and went and sat down. That may well be the finest interpretation of the 23rd psalm ever heard. "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need. That's all I want." Let's sing hymn number 161A. Because of the time, we'll just sing the first and the last verse. 161A, first and last. Asked Sister Barbara Jesuit to read the poem, "Thank You, God, for Everything."
Thank you, God, for everything, the big things and the small, for every good gift comes from God, the giver of them all. And all too often we accept without any thanks or praise the gift God sends us as blessings each day in many ways. And so at this Thanksgiving time, we offer up a prayer to thank you, God, for giving us a lot more than we share. First, thank you for the little things that often come our way, the things we take for granted but don't mention when we pray. The unexpected courtesy, the thoughtful, kindly deed, a hand reached out to help us in the time of sudden need. Oh, make us more aware, dear God, of little daily graces that come to us with sweet surprise from never dreamed of places. Then thank you for the miracles we are much too blind to see, and give us new awareness of our many gifts from Thee. And help us to remember that the key of life and living is to make each prayer a prayer of thanks and every day thanksgiving.
You know, this Thanksgiving season, when you gather with your families, this happens to be a picture of our family, but when you gather with your families, we want you to always remember to be thankful. And from our family to yours, as you celebrate Thanksgiving this coming month, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we close with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And may thankfulness be an aspect of every part of your lives every day. Let's close with hymn number 145, the last three verses. The words are not going to be on the screen, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. Hymn 145, last three verses. Dear Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help us to be thankful in all the little things and the big things and the medium things of our lives. Help us to realize that we have nothing that is not from you, and help us to return the very things that you give us back to you, that we might praise and honor your name. Forgive us for where we come short of doing the things that we know we should do and of misrepresenting you in any way. We are very thankful for the gift of your Son, that through him we can call you our Father. We do pray for your kingdom. We pray for peace in our lives and peace on earth. And we ask that as this month of November we think about the Thanksgiving season, that we think of more than just a turkey holiday and a football game, but we really think about all the things that you've done for us and the many, many, many things that we have to be thankful for. So turn our hearts to thankfulness, Father, we pray. Amen.